Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week, our hosts venture off to the cinema and return with their insightful reviews on The Other Guys and The Extra Man. And a special feature of the week from Mr. Movie. And now, without further ado, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Welcome, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film. And in The Other Guys, Odd Couple cops Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg have the chance of a lifetime to prove that they have what it takes to be NYPD's top detectives, after those spots are unexpectedly and, of course, comically vacated by super cops Samuel L. Jackson and Dwayne Johnson.
Stop humming that song!
We know. All the gunfights, all the car chases, all the sex we don't want to have with women, but we have to all do to what you guys do.
And we do it again and again.
Hey! If I want to hear you talk, I will shut my arm and work your mouth like a puppy.
Peace out. Real characters.
You stopping me?
What?
I think you're a fake cop.
I hear a guy who's probably a little insecure.
All units, we've got a possible jumper.
We all know you're in a very dark place right now.
I'm gonna do it!
You're feeling as if sweet death is your only release.
Oh, we got a second jumper!
Oh, look, he's fine!
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm his wife.
It's a ball and chain.
Oof.
Come on, seriously, who is that?
I am a real cop.
I'm working on a huge case. You're coming with me.
It's a wooden gun. Oh!
Now, the setup for the PG-rated Columbia Pictures-produced buddy film is fairly inspired, basically taking all the conventions of a typical Hollywood cop film and standing them on their heads. Now, among some of the conventions they play with for laughs are an explosion that leaves both our heroes down and out, resulting in a funny riff on the unreality of action films, out-of-control car chases that cause far more mayhem than they're worth, and the guys getting kicked off the case less for sheer incompetence than because they're actually onto something. Now, other comic bits come fast and furious, with running gags about Ferrell's Prius, his strange magnetic power over women, Wahlberg's accidental shooting of a famous athlete, and the bad guy's strange obsession with footwear, which together give the film the kind of comic backbone found in few of today's so-called comedies. Now, unfortunately, the case involving a ripped from the headline story about massive bank and investment fraud isn't really all that compelling. But that might be part of the joke, too. Few financial crimes are all that interesting to non-financial people. And the way the boys connect the dots shows that they may be the other guys and not the superstars. But they're real cops nonetheless. But in the end, that really doesn't matter. The silly antics keep the film moving, and Ferrell and Wahlberg have real chemistry. Now, what I like best about their characters is that they're not the oblivious idiots we saw in last week's Dinner for Schmucks. Instead, they're lovable, recognizable goofs. They have the kind of comic self-awareness that make them funny and likable at the same time. A sequence involving them inadvertently accepting numerous bribes and the repetitive realization and self-loathing that they've done so is, for me, among the funniest highlights in the film. Now, the supporting cast is equally good, with Steve Coogan as a slimy, double-dealing investment banker and Michael Keaton as the fellow's much-put-upon police captain. The particular standouts. Eva Mendes, as Ferrell's too attractive and understanding physician wife, serves her purpose here and seems to be in on the joke, but her presence requires that Wahlberg also have a rather perfunctory and rushed romance with Lindsay Sloan, playing a less than understanding ballet dancer. And that just gums up the works a bit, as does a sideline visit to one of Ferrell's ex-girlfriends. While the film delivers overall, I do have to take some issue with the final credits, which includes a ton of statistics about the inequality of workers and top CEOs. And though those are interesting in and of themselves, they really don't have anything to do with the hijinks here. This isn't a documentary designed to inspire a revolution, but a comic romp to bring a smile and a laugh. Now, in the final analysis, director Adam McKay, who co-wrote the script with Chris Henchy, should take pride in the fact that he's delivered, even with a slight story and some comic misfires, one of the best cop buddy movies in a while. And though I think most sequels are unnecessary, I wouldn't mind going on another case with the other guys. And on this week's F-word rating scale, I give the other guys a fast and a funny.
Well, Mr. Film, my F-word for the other guys is funny. I liked
okay.
it for a Will Ferrell flick. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Ferrell. Elf is probably his best movie, and this was almost decent. Fairly funny, fun. You know, some very odd things are going on here, and as far as silliness goes, it delivers in that department. You know, it's really hard to have one basic joke to carry a whole movie, and this isn't exactly that, but it's kind of close, just sort of bizarreness for its own sake.
Yeah, but it is funny. You have to admit that, though. I mean,
yeah, there's enough to carry it through.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you mentioned that the story is a little bit weak, and I agree with that. Definitely not failing, but definitely matinee this or try to watch it on TV for free. Another point here is that the jokes, they seem to be based a lot on pop culture references that I'm just not really tuned into at all. Which is fine. I still got the gist of them, and I'm sure there's layers here, so the more informed will appreciate it all the more. Your point about the out-of-place references at the end of the credits is well-founded. It is kind of borderline political propaganda, in my opinion, that just doesn't fit into this flick. So yeah, it's a bit flawed, but my official F-word is funny.
Yeah, and I get, it's really weird what they did with those end credits, and I think it's kind of strange. We are talking a little bit about those, but it's almost as if they, at some point, this was a drama, and it was going to inspire some sort of an Oliver Stone-esque kind of reaction, and then they decided halfway through, let's just turn it into a comedy. So, I think it's quite funny, and has a lot to offer the entire audience.
Yeah, no, those end credits definitely were more for a Michael Moore picture than seemingly to fit into this.
Absolutely.
So. So we're going to transition from the other guys onto The Extra Man. Now, in The Extra Man, based on the novel by Jonathan Ames and released by Magnolia Pictures, Paul Dano plays Lewis Ives, a young literature professor who was fired by his university and heads off to New York to find himself. He rents a room in an apartment from Henry Harrison, played by Kevin Kline, a bizarre old has-been man who mooches off of wealthy old widows in order to feel important and perhaps to score some fortunes for himself.
So tell me, why are you moving to New York?
Sort of looking for myself.
Henry Harrison.
Lewis Ives.
I'm against the education of women. It dulls their senses and affects their performance in the boudoir. The women I like best are the Hasidic women. They really get it.
This has gone on long enough.
You're the only person who's come for the room who speaks English.
Ah! Is something wrong?
Vivian's hosting a dinner party. She wants me to escort her.
Are you a gigolo?
What I bring is the complete package. I am an extra man, although I would argue that I am essential.
There's a dwarf in that picture.
It's a child, Henry.
Are we having a conversation?
I'd say so.
Well, it has to stop. We should know as little about each other as possible.
In this R-rated 1 hour, 45-minute comedy, each character is hopelessly lost in his or her own way, and unfortunately, not even a GPS could set these people in the right direction, nor the movie, for that matter. Every character here is extremely strange, for its own sake. It's not really a value. Paul Dano's character has this cross-dressing fetish. Kevin Kline gives these offbeat remarks and has a hatred for sex. John C. Reilly has this strange collection of travel trinkets or something that fill his entire apartment, and that's just the beginning of his oddness. And Katie Holmes, she's an animal rights-loving, vigilant vegan with an unsupportive boyfriend. All this strangeness, while funny at times, quickly tires and turns into an orgy of the bizarre. It's too bad and a big miss for Kevin Kline. I can see the appeal as an actor, but the story just doesn't work. Now, there are odes here to classical literature sprinkled throughout, and perhaps well-read audiences will enjoy it for that sake. But as far as the acting goes, it's fairly good, but Katie Holmes seems a bit off. But if I may go on a rant for a second, Would somebody please tell environmentalism to stop polluting our movies? There was a whole green streak in The Other Guys, and here, Lewis Ives, he wants to be a writer at an explicitly environmentalist magazine. It's no wonder these characters in this movie are miserable, given the philosophy they live by, which is hatred for anything that is man-made or pro-human life. But I digress. With or without its green-friendly propaganda, The Extra Man is simply an extra movie not worth watching. On the F-word scale, I deem it a flabby failure.
I think you kind of hit it there, Mr. Movie, right on the head. And I think this is just a freak show with one too many freaks. But for me, the biggest problem with the film is that you don't know what it wants to be about. I mean, is it a coming-of-age story? Is it about being yourself? Is it a snapshot on the weird and the wonderful, or in this case, creepy? It's all of this and none of it. Now, I think what might have been a funnier film, I mean, if we armchair direct this a little bit, is having Lewis try out all of these strange different things that he was into, you know, the cross-dressing, being an environmentalist, he plays at being a writer, an escort, etc., and him having kind of finding his direction that way by failing in these various areas, but heading towards something. In the end, I just did not get transported away one iota in this picture. I just did not believe any of it in any level. I didn't buy any of it. It's all stage dressing. It's all arched eyebrows and wink wink while pretending to ponder the deep, dark recesses of these two-dimensional souls. Now, I hated this film almost from the get-go. I hated all the plot devices. I hated all the characters. I hated the set design. I hated the acting. I hated pretty much this. The voiceover. I hated everything about this picture. So my F-word rating for this is freakishly foul.
We almost walked out of this, and Mrs. Movie was poking me saying, let's get out of here. I'm like, no, I got to finish this one. But now I have to say, the trailer for this is well put together. It does look
excellent.
Interesting. So here's a good lesson in trailer making, perhaps. But that's the best I can say about this.
Absolutely. And I think we talked about this offline, about how we were both excited about this film and based on the trailer and kind of the setup. And I think we were both taken in. So this is a lesson for all you film goers out there, not to always believe the trailer.
Well, we have a special feature of the week. We're going to do a little myth busting and answer the question, do movie theaters really make all their money from concessions? Now, buying candy or soda at the theater can be five times as expensive as buying them in the supermarket or a vending machine. And this can lead many to conclude that movie theaters make all their money from concessions, a myth that has turned into urban legend. So I put this premise to the test, Mr. Film. I took a look at recent public financial statements from the three largest theater chains, AMC, Regal, and Cinemark. Now, each of these theater chains earned about 70% of its total revenue from ticket sales and about 25% from concessions. The remaining 5% is for things like, you know, advertising or renting out the theater and that kind of thing. Now, we know that distributors typically keep about 55% of the box office. That leaves 45% for the movie theater. Now, on the other hand, looking at the concession costs, the raw costs of concessions, the direct raw costs, are about 10% of those sales. So that skews the pie a little bit, but still in favor of ticket sales. If you factor out those direct costs, the total revenue pie is about 55% from tickets and 40% from concessions. Of course, there are more costs to operating a theater, such as the cost of equipment and labor and rent, but we'll chalk all that up to operating costs to you know, what you need to run the theater as a whole, and just look at those direct costs to those direct revenue points. The truth of the matter is that while concessions are a large portion of the movie theater's earnings, ticket sales are still a larger source, and myth busted.
Wow. Well, thank you for busting that myth. That wraps up the show this week. To recap, I gave The Other Guys a fast and funny rating on our F word scale, while Mr. Movie just gave it a funny.
And Mr. Film gave The Extra Man a freakishly foul, and I gave it a flabby failure.
Now, Releasing next week, we have a little bit for everybody. Eat, Pray, Love is a romantic comedy starring Julia Roberts, another person on there looking for themselves. And we have on the other side of the aisle, The Expendables, starring pretty much every 80s action star there is. And so I think those are going to be the two biggies for next week, and possibly Scott Pilgrim versus the World as well is the breakout.
Make sure to visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. You can listen to this and past episodes. And tell all your friends to subscribe to us in iTunes. Just search for The Movie Film Show. And that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Odd Couple Cops,
Mr. Movie, and
Mr. Film have the chance of a lifetime to prove that they have what it takes to be
an orgy of the bizarre.
His strange magnetic power over women. I think this is just a freak show with one too many freaks.
Myth busted. You know, some very odd things are going on here, and as far as silliness goes, it delivers in that department.
Now, I hated this film almost from the get-go. I hated all the plot devices. I hated all the characters. I hated the set design. I hated the acting. I hated the voiceover. I hated everything about this picture.
On the F-word scale, I deem it a flabby failure.
I do have to take some issue with the final credits.
Your point about the out-of-place references is well-founded.
It's a wooden gun!
Oh!
My official F-word is film.